Inside Scoop Live. Hi, I'm Irene Watson. I'm your host for today. Well, today I'm really delighted to be speaking on the phone with Ankur Chowdhury. He is also known by his writing name as Renegade. He is the author of an expressive and dark rendition of poetry, reflecting on his own life while going through a lonely and painful time in his life. The name of his book is Final Destination. He has lived through his own turmoil, but he has also found peace within to be able to live a fulfilled life. Poetry is his passion, and he continues to express this through his thoughts. And it's just really interesting. So stay tuned, because today we're really going to get to know Ankur and his deeper purpose in life, as well as hear some of the words of wisdom from a young man that we can certainly reflect on and make changes in our own lives. Hi, Ankur.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Well, I'm glad to be talking to you. It's you have a very interesting book that came out, as you called it, Final Destination. And from what I understand, you've written it because it was a really life-changing time that happened for you in 2008. Would you explain to our listening audience what that big moment was and why you chose to write this book?
It wasn't too easy for me to write the book, but it's just, you know, a summary of what I've been through in life. 2008 came with a big shock for me when I lost my mother. I was just in my room studying for my final exams, and all of a sudden I look out the window and I see a lot of people. I rushed down and I saw my mom lying down, and I tried reaching out to her, but, you know, couldn't. So she passed away a few weeks after that. She was in ICU, but she passed away a few days after that, and I was just left all alone. My father at the time was working in Maryland, and I was in New Jersey. So I really didn't have any emotional support at that time, and I was just sitting and, you know, just crying and just, you know, going through a tough phase in life. And I'm not sure if, you know, if I was meant to do poetry, but that is what it is now. Because I feel that poetry made me. I didn't make poetry. And, you know, it's just an account of my life.
Sure. So you were obviously very close to your mother.
Yes, I was, actually. Growing up, my father used to work, you know, all over the place. So I never really got to hang out with him. But I was very close with my mother. So this was a very big shock for me.
I can imagine.
You know, because it was kind of early. You know, we all know everyone's got to go one day, but this was kind of early, and, you know, it just left me shattered.
How old were you at that time, Ankur?
I was 21, I believe. And one of the worst things was the day it happened was my father's birthday. So, yeah, it turns out I called him to let him know this. So it wasn't easy, you know, just living through that moment. And I'd be up at night just trying to talk to someone, and I only found myself. And I started talking with myself through poetry. And I just kept writing, and then I used to read them back to myself, and that's how I used to communicate. So that's what brought my book.
So obviously, Ankur, you do not have any siblings then?
No, I don't.
No. And no other family in the area as well?
I do have family in the area, but at that time, you know, it was just me just going through a rough phase. And, you know, I mean, I did have people sympathizing and all, but at the end of the day, it was just me who had to bear the pain. So,
and, you know, at 21, it's difficult. It's difficult because at that time you're still, you know, possibly a teenager, but yet an adult. And there are so many emotions that come up that we're a lot of times not prepared to deal with these emotions.
Yeah, that's actually a good point you said.
Uh-huh.
I wasn't ready.
Right.
Because I've never been through something like this. I mean, I did have a rough childhood, and, you know, other things didn't work out for me in life.
Uh-huh.
But this was an absolute shocker for me. And, you know, I didn't have anything to say at that time because I knew what had happened. You know, there's no escape from it.
Well, I think also, you know, when there's a death in the family, a person really doesn't know what to say, and people don't know what to say to you. It's just,
yeah,
we just don't know.
Yeah, it's tough, you know.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
What's even tougher is everything from, say, I'd say 2007, when I guess the real, you know, tough phases in life started. I just began losing everything in life, and you won't believe it, but about from my mother's death till a year after that, I witnessed 32 deaths, and these are all either close family, a few of my friends, or, you know, just people around me that I know. But I lost 32
I mean, I'm sitting here with goosebumps because I'm thinking, how can, I mean, you know, losing one is very devastating and puts us way up there on the stress chart, you know, is very close to the top, but 32 in a 1 year, and especially for somebody that's 21 years old that really feels very alone, it must have been very devastating for you.
Yeah, it was, actually, because my health declined.
Uh-huh.
And I had a lot of health issues at that time, like depression and blood pressure and stuff like that. And the doctor would tell me, you know, try to focus on the better things in life.
Uh-huh.
You know, try to get stress out of the way. So I tried it. But every other day I'd, you know, get a text or a phone call or some news from somewhere that, you know, this person's no longer there.
Wow.
And it would all, you know, it would always be someone in my family or my friend's family or friend. You know, it was devastating.
Well, I can only imagine. I would have no idea what that would be like or feel like. I can only imagine. And devastating is probably just a gentle word also, because maybe there aren't really any words to say what you really did go through. Now, Ankur, you had mentioned that there were some tough phases that started in 2007. Are you willing to tell us what actually happened a year before your mother's death?
I mean, I'm just quoting from 2007, but, you know, growing as a childhood, I was never what you would expect from, you know, stereotype Indian kids. I was never good at, you know, academics.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's just a line that never attracted me. And I came to this country when I was 18, but before that I was in India. So, you know, I was never one that was praised for his academic pursuits. To be honest with you, I just, you know, I just found street life more intriguing than school for me.
Uh-huh.
I knew you would have to educate yourself in today's world because that's how the society looks up to you. But I don't know, it was maybe just me or my conscience that found the streets closer. You know, and I used to hang out on the streets and, you know, just do, you know, do street life things. And I came here. And then I said, all right, I'm going to start a new life, you know, just concentrate on my academics, just, you know, get a degree, get a job, just, you know, just a well-balanced life, you know. I never asked for too much, but there you go. All of a sudden, you know, things just went haywire.
Oh, boy, do they ever. So you mentioned you came to the U.S. at age 18, which was only 3 years before your mother's death.
Yeah.
So obviously there was just a lot of cultural differences for you too. Not only that you said you weren't that interested in academics and weren't that good in it, so you chose the street life, but coming to a country that, like the United States, from Canada, must have been very stressful in itself. The different cultures.
Yeah. It was, but I was really lucky to find a lot of good friends that that taught me about the culture, you know, because I'm always one of them who believes in sharing cultures and not just basing on one culture, you know. I just don't want to go out there and be like, oh, this culture is the best, you know, just because I'm part of it. I like to, you know, just intertwine all cultures together, you know, like a blend, so that's so we can learn, because, you know, it's a generation where we can always learn new things. And, you know, just following different cultures, different aspects of life, you know, helps us build ourselves.
So with that attitude, obviously it was easy for you to fit in to the United States society then.
Yeah, it was fairly easy, but that's only one aspect of it, though. I had other aspects going along with it, because I was always in, you know, two minds, because I didn't know where I would fit. You know, it was probably my fault that I was searching for a place to fit, you know, until I realized that, you know, it's just me. I just have to be myself. And people who will accept me, you know, are my true well-wishers, you know. I don't have to be someone else to fit into society. You know, I just have to be myself, and hopefully people will like me for my deeds.
Well, you know, so well said, but I know, Ankur, that so many people are searching ways to fit in, and I think that I just know that there are many in our societies that are, and it's sometimes very confusing until, like what you just said, you know, as long as we can get back to ourselves and be happy with who we are, we may never fit in unless we change that within ourselves.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was trying to say. You know, a lot of times I've debated myself, you know, as to who I am and what should I be. Because if you go by culture or anything else related to the Indian culture, you know, we're always thought of someone being academically higher, you know.
Stereotype, yeah.
Yeah, the stereotype, you know, always thought about, you know, getting these, you know, massive degrees and, you know, these financial jobs and all these things. So a lot of people in my society have that expectation from me. But what a lot of people fail to realize is everyone has a different purpose in life. You know, just because you're born into one society or one culture doesn't mean you're going to follow those paths, you know. You can always try new things and see what your strength lies in, you know.
So true. So true. I'm glad you said that, Ankur, because I think that's so important. And many people in our society don't realize that. I'm very curious, Ankur, being that you do have visibly minority, you're a visible minority in the United States, which could be predominantly, mind you, we are multicultural, but I'm wondering if you ever found any discrimination against you because you are visibly a minority.
Well, I'm not going to say I found discrimination because, as I said, I was really lucky that a lot of my good friends accepted me for who I was, and, you know, we're still together today. But on a few occasions, maybe, you know, I've had to face you know, certain issues where you know, I've been looked down upon because of my my color or you know, anything like that, my ethnicity, something like that. But it doesn't get to me because, as I said, I believe in sharing love, you know.
Yep.
I believe that we all should just, you know, share our thoughts and just look beyond just color and gender and race and culture, you know.
Ankur, I'm curious. Did you feel that growing up as a child also? Or was this something that really kind of came to you after your mother's death and that you really had to go within and look at who you were?
Yeah, that's actually pretty correct, because when I was growing up, you know, as I said, I always say, actually, that I really respect J.K. Rowling for her book because it gives children, you know, like a fantasy world to live in.
Uh-huh.
So if I could, I'd pray that, you know, children of today's world always live in that. But, you know, sometimes you have to face the hard and bitter realities of life.
Yeah.
And that's when I say that if you want, you can read my poetry at that time.
Yeah.
But I was also I wouldn't say I was immature, but I wasn't this serious or, you know, anything like that.
Uh-huh.
You know, I was just going with the flow,
uh-huh.
as they say. Whatever came to me, that's how I went with it. But after my mother's death, I realized that, you know, life is too short, and there's no time to, you know, just mess around.
Uh-huh.
If you want to do something, you got to do it right then, you know. You got to put an effort right then. You can't just wait for time to come and, you know, just bless you with a lot of things.
Yeah.
So, definitely my mother's death uh-huh. definitely did change it. Because another thing that always, you know, gets to me is that, you know, being an Indian parent, she was always concerned about my academics
uh-huh.
and my graduation and then marriage and everything, you know.
Right.
But the toughest thing for me is that I know today she won't be present
uh-huh.
at, you know, at my success or anything I do in life, you know. You know, people say that, you know, she's looking from heaven
uh-huh.
and all that. I mean, I do understand that, but when it comes to reality, as I said,
yeah.
I just write poetry, everything based on reality, you know.
Uh-huh.
Nonfiction is completely, you know, if it's happened to me, it can happen to anybody.
Yeah.
It's not something that I would create and mislead or misguide people. It's something that I've been through, and I believe anybody can go through it.
And we'll be back with more Inside Scoop Live after these important announcements.
Inside Scoop Live is a global internet-based broadcast specializing in interviewing published authors about their current books and areas of expertise. I'm Juanita Watson, the host of the show, and invite you to join me as I bring to the air both well-known and upcoming writers. You will hear my guests talk candidly about their books, their life experience, specific topics, and the business of being an author in today's literary world. Always interesting and current, my intention is to bring our audience high-quality discussions that spotlight a vast diversity of authors in the field today. Our interviews are syndicated and archived for availability 24/7 through direct podcast and MP3 download. And as always, I love to hear from listeners. Have a look at our website, InsideScoopLive.com. Send me an email, comment on previous guests, and let me know who you'd like to hear on the show. I'll do my best to bring you your favorite authors live and direct.
Welcome back to Inside Scoop Live. Today I'm talking with Ankur Chowdhury, also known as Renegade, the street poet. As you've heard so far, Ankur has had so many experiences in his short lifetime that many of us, two or three or four times his age, haven't had to endure. We will continue talking with Ankur and even go deeper. And I'll also be asking him to give us a sampling of his work, which I know you're going to thoroughly enjoy. So how about reading a piece for us? I know that I asked you to pick one from Final Destination, and please read it for us.
I'll read my last poem from Final Destination.
Okay.
It's called Escape. This poem basically deals with my extreme pain and how I wanted to just, you know, just die and
uh-huh.
just, you know, quit the world and stuff like that. So, all right, here it goes.
Okay.
As I continue along untraced paths, shadows of silence follow me. For where karma is a sinful aftermath, life is a felony that hollows me. I never knew a journey would end here, for I only crawl behind my tears. Yet misguided by past accusations, I seek to indulge myself in gratifying fear. Oh, Lord, are you there? Raise me to your where home lies, beneath dull horizons and above tinted skies. Wrap me in the coffin of truth and bury me in the soil of a million cries. I plead for ghostly freedom where nightmares can chase me around, where the graves can play with my soul while I lay a shadow of tears underground. Pain lusts for me like no other. The darkness accuses me of lyrical virginity. But I've only sinned to write passages, only prayed for a moment's escape from this destiny. I seek to run away. I seek to numb my blemished face. For whenever I see a new day, these teary visions wish to escape. Eyes red, gleaming with lust, for pain is a vicious oath I've swallowed. And as I chalk miseries with dust, these lines seem to be a curse that shadowed. Eclipsed by the cries of doom, I hide myself within empty bottles of gin. For alone I am now in this room, though unleashed are my advertent sins. Haunted by silent shudders, I seek to ask these ghosts of eternal joy. For if I must be awakened by blemished thunders, why not let my petrified wounds enjoy? Screams only reach my throat, but voices remain fenced within my lungs. There is a rhythm in words I wrote, the mournings are a hymn I've sung. And as this night and darkness cuddle, my pen begins to taunt. Scars last scrape, my fingers drench in discolored puddles, while I wait for a demise soul escape. I seek to wash away, I seek to rinse my sinful fate, for if life be a prison today, the Lord must help me escape.
Wow. I'm just like speechless, but what I do want to ask you, and something came, you know, as I was listening, did you at one time think of actually doing away with your life?
I actually did, you know, I'm not going to lie. Yeah, because I just found failure all around me at a time, you know, everything was going wrong for me, you know, just everything you can possibly think of. Everything was going wrong, and then I just started questioning myself, you know, what am I worth for, you know, what's the real, you know, what am I going to benefit from living, you know? But then I thought about my parents, especially my mother, and, you know, she's always raised me as a brave kid, you know, she taught me that, you know, you should never fear any incident in life, regardless how tough it can be, because that's a challenge that the Lord brings forward for you. You know, you got to battle your way. Some people get it easy, yes. Some people get it tougher. But that's how it is, you know. But, you know, battling tough situations will only help you grow and make you stronger. So that's when I sat down and I started writing poetry, you know.
Rather than taking your own life.
Yeah, just trying to find a way to survive this phase, you know. So that's how I came up with the book, and, you know, that's how I find myself to be poetry.
So I also heard in that piece that you were drowning yourself in gin. And is that something that you were able to use an escape in some sense, I guess?
Well, here's the thing. I did do a lot of things at that time that probably isn't something to look up for, you know, as a role model for the young generation or something.
Yeah.
But it's just how I escaped through that phase. You know, that's why my poetry deals with so many things, because, you know, there were wrong things done to me, and I followed it up with some more.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was a complete disaster at that time. You know, I did a lot of wrong things, like, you know, just letting my pain grow through silence, you know. So, and, you know, I succumbed to, you know, the other things in life, and all these, you know, partial truths that help escape. But I never really found it until I came across poetry. And that, to me, is my real escape today, because I can only find myself within poetry and nothing else.
Well, and then I really question, is it really an escape or is it a healing mechanism?
How I thought about it, this poem, was escape could be two ways, because either if I'm destined to go through more pain, then death is an option. But if there is brighter days ahead of me, then poetry is an option. So I always debated between these two when I was writing it, that what is the escape?
Mm-hmm.
Because if, you know, this is just going to be the same way as it is right now, then I might as well, you know, just quit.
Yeah.
But
okay.
If there are brighter days, then I must search within myself, you know, and give myself a chance to accept those. So that's how I came across the this poem.
Mm-hmm. So do you feel that you are religious?
I am religious, but not too much. I mean, I do believe in religion, but I'm not, you know, a daily worshiper or something like that. You know, I mean, I just go with it. I believe in myself. I believe the Lord has made everyone for a purpose.
Uh-huh.
You know, we all have our individual roles to play in the world, you know, regardless of what we go through. And as I said, I was never inclined towards poetry.
Yeah.
You know, books were probably the last thing on my mind ever through I was growing up.
Yeah.
I never read it. So I always asked my dad, how come someone who's never read any book, never took interest in learning or education or writing, all of a sudden comes up with a book of poetry.
Poetry, right. Yeah, I can understand you questioning. You mentioned your father, Ankur. Are you close to him?
I'm very close to him.
Are you?
I am. And especially after this trauma, I'm even more closer, you know. Like, we're like best friends right now.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I mean, because, you know, I have him and he has me. That's the only people we have. Because the closest person to feel my pain will be my father, because there's no one else, you know, to feel that exact pain what we go through. And my father's also had a rough time, you know, during this phase. Like,
sure.
He lost his job, you know, things happen and stuff like that. So we've been through a rough phase. So I'm just trying to give back to him, you know, whatever he's given me throughout life. You know, just trying to, you know, be a poet, just make something out of my life instead of, you know, just wasting it on other things.
Well, it sounds like you're on the right path. I mean, you know, listening to you and listening to what you had gone through and the changes that you made in your life, and I'm really hearing that you're really set on the direction. And from what I also understand, you have another book coming out. And I would like you to read one of the pieces in your upcoming book.
Sure. The one I'd like to read would be called A Moment in Hunger.
A Moment in Hunger, okay.
Yeah, that just basically how what inspired me to write this was I was actually on a road trip with my friends to Michigan, and we were at a stop sign. I think it was a red light, and it was I think it was March, but it was snowing, or I forget exactly what month it was, but I know it was snowing. It was really cold outside, so we were at the stoplight, and we're just having a good time in the car, and I look outside and I see this homeless guy sitting with a cardboard box which says, buy me a beer or something.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of got to me, you know, because what we often forget is that, you know, a lot of people aren't blessed with wealth or a healthy lifestyle, you know. But we always try to associate ourselves with wealthier people in society. But that just gets to me because a lot of people then tend to ignore the fact that there are about the increase in poverty in today's society. You know, they forget there are a lot of people out there, you know, don't even get to eat for a week. You know, days pass by, they don't get to eat. So I've always been, I always felt that I need to do something for them, you know.
Uh-huh.
You know, because to me, I'm not too much of a materialistic guy, but I believe in, you know, it's tough. You know, I believe that we should all, you know, try to help whoever we can with whatever we have. You know, it doesn't mean just because you have a lot of money, you know, donated and that's a big cause. No, you know, at every step in life, if we can help someone, I mean, it makes life easier. So, you know, and I always question because, you know, they say God made everyone equal. But, you know, I beg to differ because, you know, because when we see these real life examples, you know, you can't really go with that or you can't support that phrase because, you know, you see them and you feel like, you know, how come they don't have a house to stay? How come they don't have food to eat? They don't have shelter? You know, it's just the way society is today. So I wrote, you know, something about their hunger and poverty. So it's called A Moment in Hunger.
Okay.
All right. If tears be a gamble, then bet it. Lost souls held captive between blinks. If hunger's cuffs bright, then let it. Why mesmerize the pain livid in inks? See, what comes before life is birth, while crime rejuvenates as a step closer to death. All left swollen with dirt, but still none to eliminate this odor. Nights introduce senses to faults, and days render our conviction. A criminal's path concluded at Terry Halt's, yet still no surprise in tomorrow's prediction. Those yet to breathe die in hunger, and those hungry die in search for bread, while those of wealthy possessions surrender their choice to secure a moment in materialistic concepts. Now, if poverty be a curse, then wisdom is guilt, and every penny earned is crime. For what is possessed but can't be shared builds in its own constitution a castle of false pride. See through their visions to enhance such greed, but tell me if I'm wrong when in search to feed my eyes that have swallowed enough from barrels of unlisted deeds to promote a moment in hunger, nurturing an incidental smile through unheard cries.
Wow. Your wordsmithing is wonderful and correct.
Thank you.
What a talent. What a talent. Deep, dark, emotional, wonderful poetry. And Kerr, it's been such a pleasure for me to talk with you, to get to know who you are. And I know that our listening audience is just sitting back and reflecting on all the things that you have said because, you know, so many of us are wandering around, wondering what our purpose is here. And I know that your words of wisdom have people thinking, and I really do appreciate you taking the time and reading some of your pieces and sharing your wisdom with us. And Kerr,
hey, thank you for having me on the show. It was a great honor.
Well, thank you. And your website address, let's tell our audience how they can find you.
I don't have a website as of now.
Oh, okay.
But you can find me on Facebook.
Okay. And your Facebook address is?
My Facebook address, you can just search Ankur Chaudhary.
Okay.
And you can just find me. It has the cover of my new book titled The Other Side of Reflection, which is coming out in August.
Uh-huh.
So, or you can follow me on Twitter.
Oh, okay. And your Twitter address is?
My Twitter is Renegade Poetry. You can just search twitter.com and all the slashes and Renegade Poetry.
Renegade Poetry. Okay, great. There you go. Wasn't this great listening to this interview? I know that I'm going to just be sitting back and reflecting to all the things that Ankur has said. And I do appreciate you taking that time, Ankur.
Thank you.
Listeners, there you go. This is Irene Watson with Inside Scoop Live. Thanks for listening. Bye for now.